This is the Navigating Adult ADHD podcast, here to help you navigate and thrive with ADHD in adulthood. I'm your host, Zena, and I was diagnosed at age 36. As with many ADHDers, I have a rebellious and nonconformist style. And that means that there will likely be swearing in the coming episode. Please be mindful of any little people. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to Navigating Adult ADHD. Happy New Year. This is officially the first podcast I am recording in 2024, and I have just come back from about 10 days off. And during that time, I spent quite a bit of time reflecting on last year, looking at the wins, at some of the positive changes I made, also looking at some of the lessons and some of the things that didn't go the way I would have liked. So hence some of the goals that I have set and some of the focuses that we'll be talking about today that I am directing my attention towards for 2024. Now, I did share my process on how to set, achieve, maintain goals when you've got ADHD, and that was in episode number 41. If you haven't listened to that, I highly recommend it. Now, today I want to talk about the biggest obstacle that we face when it comes to making changes. And in order to do that, I'm going to share some of my goals with you and some of the challenges that I've already begun to face as I work towards those. Okay. So my personal goal for 2024 is to improve my health and put a huge focus on health this year. Now, this past week, whilst I've been off, I've, as I said, been reflecting on the last year, but also on the Christmas New Year period and the time that I've been spending with my family and my friends. And I have been eating a shitload more than normal and a lot of different foods. One of those is croissants. I think it's something that we only eat at Christmas time in our family. We have them, every year with Christmas, and we have ham and cheese croissants generally toasted in the oven. It's just like a Christmas Day thing. But then you've got packets of them forever and they seem to go on for weeks. So anyway, there's been a lot of different food. There's been a lot of sugar. Now, I am a person who generally doesn't eat a lot of sugar or sugary foods. And I would say I've gone nuts these past sort of few weeks in the lead up to Christmas and then over the Christmas period. So, there's been a lot of chocolate, a lot of baking. Somebody had made a Christmas cake. There was a pavlova. Not a fan of that, but you get what I'm saying. There was a lot of sugar around, and then you get gifted things as well. There's also been a lot more alcohol. I am a fan of bubbles or champagne, and there's been a shitload of that. And I haven't been doing my regular journaling, my regular self-coaching, haven't been in my regular routine of managing my mind and being more aware of my emotions and processing them deliberately. So all of that to say, I've actually felt pretty crappy during the Christmas New Year period. If I'm really honest, I've been more tired than normal. I've had challenges with sleep, even more so, like real challenges with sleep, getting enough sleep, waking up, falling asleep. I've been way more irritable and frustrated, like just pissy and pissed all the time. My poor partner. But I've been, really short and snappy with him. I've been annoyed at myself. I've been short with the kids and lacking motivation, like even to do some of the things that had become quite habitual. So for me, walking twice a day is something, but just feeling kind of like, ugh, do I have to? Like, I've noticed a real change in myself during this time, and also my skin. So I have psoriasis and potentially dermatitis and rosacea. Like, I went to a skin specialist once and they're like, oh yeah, I think it's a cocktail of things. And they were very vague. But anyway, so what that means is I can get, red, itchy skin. And I don't really get it in many places on my body. I might get the odd patch. I get it, unfortunately, on my face. So during the Christmas New Year period, just below my lip, I got this patch, a new patch that I hadn't had before, that became incredibly itchy. And then on top of my eye, on like my eyelid where the crease is, I got this really, really itchy patch of skin. So all of that to say, you know, whilst eating and drinking and not, you know, taking care of my mental and emotional health like I normally would and having all these different foods and just, I'm feeling pretty crap. My body's kind of paying for it. Now, I know from previous experience that if I cut back on the alcohol, because I don't generally drink a lot, if I cut back on that and if I cut sugar pretty much right out of my diet, I will feel a lot better. If I make healthier food choices, like I don't generally have a huge amount of carbs because especially processed carbs, they just seem to fuck with me. Like I know if I do these things that I'll feel better, right? If I do my journaling, my self-coaching, manage my mental and emotional life, like if I put deliberate effort into doing these things, I'm going to feel better. I'm going to increase my motivation. I'm going to sleep better. I'm going to be less agitated and annoyed and my skin will improve. Okay. So I know all of that. And no doubt you know that too. So I'm walking along the other day and I'm thinking about this and I'm like, I've just kept doing the same shit for the past 7 days. Like, why is it that when I know, already know, because I've done, you know, I've done a lot of reflective work and I've done some journaling, I know that health is a focus this year. So why is it that I'm waiting till the 1st of January? Like, why is it that I don't just start now? And here is why. And here is what often keeps us stuck. It is because of the motivational triad that we are going to talk about today, okay? It is because the primary purpose of your brain is to keep you alive, okay? That is your brain's number one job at all times to keep you alive. Now, in order to do that, it is wired to do three things. Number one is to avoid pain. Number two is to seek pleasure. And number three is to save energy. Okay. So if you were to picture a triangle, this is why it's called a triad, because all of those three points are connected. Okay. We're always working to avoid pain, seek pleasure, and save energy. Okay. Now, I think it often helps if we picture going back to the caveman days, where back in those times it was a matter of life or death to listen to that kind of internal compass that we have, which is, you know, in our brain. So if you were to imagine that you were hunting for food in the wild, right, in the caveman times, and you hear a rustle in the bushes, you would experience fear. Like, shit, what's that? Now that is pain, like the emotional pain that you're experiencing. Okay, you haven't yet experienced the physical pain, but the emotional pain is shit, you should be afraid. What is that? It's a warning sign. Should I hide? Should I run? Should I stop? What should I do? Because I could be in danger. Okay, so it's like a warning sign in your brain. Now, if you think about in those caveman days when you're eating food and you're looking for sweet berries to eat and you're having sex and you're having a warm fire, all of those are pleasure-seeking things that ultimately helped you evolve and stay alive, okay? Now, lying around all day, not doing a lot, that was also necessary to save energy in case there was a fight, in case your cave was attacked, in case you had to fight off a predator or hunt for food. You wanted to save your energy for when it was really needed, okay? Makes a lot of sense, okay? Avoiding pain, seeking pleasure, and saving energy is what's wired into our brain as our survival mechanism, okay? It is our brain's number one goal at all times. So, back to the example I was giving you about how I've been feeling and, you know, knowing that health is a huge focus for me in 2024 and these changes I've wanted to be making, my brain was not really on board with it because of those three things. In order to stop eating all of the Christmas leftovers, so we still had chocolates in the house and Christmas cake and bottles of champagne and different foods in the cupboards, which to my brain sounded incredibly pleasurable and also easy. Like it was already there. I didn't have to make anything. I could just go and get it, right? In order to do that, it required me to go against this kind of wiring that is in my brain, okay? To stop eating and drinking all of that, to my brain, it was going to be painful and require effort because it was easily accessible and it was so pleasurable and nice to have. In fact, going to the grocery store and making some, you know, healthy salads and some other choices. And that required a lot of effort. My brain was like, if that, not on board. Okay. So this motivational triad explains how we are motivated as humans to survive. Okay. We seek as much pleasure as possible. We avoid as much pain as possible. And we save as much energy as possible. Okay. Now, this is why it is really hard to change. Because we're literally wired to want to stay in our comfort zones. Okay, I'm going to say it again. This is why it's so hard for us to change, because our brain is wired this way to want to stay in our comfort zones. Now, we know that as ADHDers, we are motivated by things that interest us and things that give us an immediate reward. Okay, things that produce dopamine for us. But the problem is that we expect that we should want to do things. Okay. We expect we should feel motivated to take action. We think it's necessary. Okay. This is a problem because our brains are not wired to want to make changes. Our brains are not wired to want to do hard things. Our brains are not wired to, you know, put pleasure off for a longer term reward. No. But that doesn't mean that we can't do that, those things. In fact, we're doing that shit every single day. Okay. So just today, I did not want to get up. My alarm went off at 6:30 a.m. Now, prior to this is my first day back at work. Prior to this, I had been sleeping in maybe till 7 if I was lucky, at least I was staying in bed till about 8. Like, I'd wake up and then I'd have a coffee in bed and just enjoy a leisurely morning. I'd been on holiday. However, this morning the alarm went off at 6:30. I was like, ugh, this is not good. I had to get up. I didn't have to, but I did, right? The alarm went off. And I did not want to go for a walk. I did not. I did not want to get up. I did not want to go for my morning walk that I always do. And then I had planned to work out in a gym. We've got a gym at home. I did not want to work out in the gym. I was pissed about it. And you know what? I also didn't want to start my first day back at work. Not because I don't love you guys or love what I do, but because I just wanted to stay on a holiday. I had had a great time off. I'd spent lots of time with friends and family, and we're really close to the beach and a beautiful sunny day today. I just wanted to keep doing that. But I did all of those things, okay? So what I want you to hear is we do things every single day that we don't want to do, okay? And my guess is you're doing lots of those things too. Maybe you didn't want to get up and go to work today. Maybe you didn't want to go for a walk either. Maybe you didn't want to go to the gym and you did. Maybe you didn't want to go and pick your kids up from school, but you did, right? There are so many things that we don't want to do that we do every single day. Things that require energy of us, things that aren't immediately pleasurable, and things that sometimes feel hard or painful. I'll tell you what, working out in that gym today, it felt hard and painful. Even though I've been doing it for like the last couple of weeks, I have been implementing it slowly. I just didn't want to. And it was hard. We do these things and we do them every single day. Okay. So I just want to point that out. Even though we're wired to not do these things, we are still doing them. So what that tells us is that we can do them. Okay. In fact, we choose to do them every single day. Now, in today's world, there is pleasure available everywhere, all the time. Food, alcohol, sugar, porn, watching YouTube videos, scrolling on social media, online shopping. We are surrounded by easily accessible forms of pleasure all day long. And my guess is that you, my friend, just like me, you are quite familiar with it as an ADHDer who is constantly kind of seeking dopamine. you know a lot of the pleasurable sources around you. So for our ADHD brains that naturally have less dopamine, we're constantly prioritizing pleasure, even when it isn't necessarily in line with the goals that we have for ourselves and the changes that we want to make in our lives. Okay? Choosing pleasure in today's world is more, it's more easy. Is that a good choice of English? Whatever, you know what I mean. Choosing pleasure is easier than ever before, okay? But it comes at a cost to us. Now, then we talk about avoiding pain, right? We need to learn how to master our emotional lives, how to, how to feel and process our emotions, okay? We need to figure out what it means to actually be uncomfortable, and that feeling uncomfortable doesn't mean we're unsafe. Okay. In our brain, anytime we feel a negative emotion, our brain goes, danger, danger, shit, I'm unsafe, must go do something else, must not do that. Okay. But feeling uncomfortable doesn't mean unsafe. Okay. What it means to experience a negative emotion, we've got to learn that. We used to be forced, you know, back in caveman days, we used to be forced into negative emotion for the sake of survival. We didn't have a choice, okay? Which being chased by a lion or that rustling in the bushes or, you know, a tribe coming for us to attack us. But now we have a choice. And most of the time we choose not to experience the negative emotion. We choose not to put ourselves in air quotes harm's way. Because we have a choice in today's modern world. It is so much easier to avoid it. But we also get to choose whether or not we're going to show up for ourselves, whether or not we're going to put ourselves out there and risk being rejected for the goals that we have, for the life that we want to live. Now, anytime we experience emotional pain, you know, whether perhaps that's that we're anxious for an upcoming meeting at work, or we're afraid of dating and putting ourselves out there, or we're dreading having to go to the gym for a workout. We often make those emotions mean something's wrong, I shouldn't feel that way. So we avoid it, or we ignore it, or we put it off. Okay? Simply because we haven't learned how to process our negative emotion. We normally choose, no thanks, I'm going to avoid that. Okay? But what we're doing is we're not, you know, taking action towards our goals. We're not putting ourselves out there in the world, you know, and we go about seeking more pleasure, which is everywhere. And then the last part of this is that we do the opposite of, you know, using our energy. We just want to lie around all day and use very little energy. We no longer need to reserve our energy and our effort anymore. In fact, most of us need to be putting more effort out into the world and spending, instead of spending time kind of spinning in struggle, which feels like effort. And that's the interesting thing is, like, I know when I've been stuck before and you're constantly going over and over a problem or a decision that you need to make, it feels like you're taking a lot of action. It feels like a lot of effort because you're spending a lot of mental energy. Okay. We often spend time stressing out, running all over the place, feeling frazzled or upset or stressed. And that is the opposite of taking energy and effort towards our goals and putting ourselves out there to achieve our goals and our dreams and make changes. Okay. Now, this motivational triad, these three things, okay, they've gotten us to this exact point in our lives, in human evolution. Okay. Our brain being wired to protect us and evolve and survive. But that's a bit of a problem because what got us here is not going to get us to our future selves. Because the things that got us here are the exact opposite of what's going to get us to that next stage in our life. All right, stay with me. So when I think back to some of the things in my life that I'm most proud of, some of my accomplishments, some of the goals that I've achieved, they all have in common that I had to do hard shit and I had to do things that were very uncomfortable for me. Okay. Take, for example, dating. right? I was single for well over 10 years. Dating to me was effing terrifying. Also moving to London. So I was a Kiwi girl, grew up here in New Zealand, and I moved by myself. I just bought a house, right? I left my house. I had a great job making the most money I'd ever made, and I bought a one-way ticket to go to London. Like that, I knew one person, literally one person in London. That was terrifying. Like one of the hardest things I've ever done, but also one of the best things I've ever done, right? So those things, so hard, so uncomfortable, so much effort, not immediately pleasurable at all. Traveling solo, that's another one. Like I didn't have anyone to travel with and I was not going to let that stop me. Scary as hell. Learned a lot. Incredible. So amazing that I even started a business many years ago for solo female travelers, hosted trips and retreats all over the world. I spent 6 months traveling solo through South and Central America in some of the places that people had said were the most unsafe in the world. Like I did that. Was it hard? Yes. Was it as uncomfortable? Yes. Was it not always immediately pleasurable? Yes. Especially when I remember getting sick. Where was I? Like Buenos Aires? I don't know how, wherever I came from to get to Buenos Aires. I was so sick at like traveling there, flying in, so sick. Got to my Airbnb, spent like a week in bed, so sick. Like it was miserable. It was hard. It was uncomfortable. It was like right at the beginning of the trip. Oh, kind of like, yeah, early in, and I just had to like figure it out, navigate it, get through it, and then eventually start to like rebuild my energy and then get back out there and start traveling and doing things again. Like people think of like travel as like amazing. It's like sometimes it's not, especially when you're on your own and you're doing it for a long time. Trust me. Anyway, another thing that was really hard and uncomfortable for me to do was taking a year off alcohol. And I did that for health reasons, mental and emotional health, physical health, like, and also just to really learn about myself. Like it was a real mental challenge and it was fantastic, but hard at the same time, okay? So what I'm saying here again, I just want to reiterate, is like some of the things in our lives that, you know, we are no doubt proud of or we have accomplished, and maybe that's that you went to university and studied and got a degree, or, you know, you got a promotion, or you bought your own home, or maybe you left a really toxic relationship and started over. Like these are things that are hard and uncomfortable and require a lot of effort and aren't immediately pleasurable. When I think about studying, like, you know, and I've got a close friend doing this at the moment, like in the middle of studying, and it is years to get there, to get the degree. And then like, you know, you get into placement or you get into the workforce and then you learn all over again. Like it requires a lot of effort, a lot of hard and uncomfortable days. The pleasure is way down the track, right? I'll give you another example. I talked about dating before. I justified not dating for 10 years. Okay. And justification is a really sneaky way that our brains talk us out of what we want, right? My brain is really good at this, and I've just started to get really good at seeing what it's doing. But we try to justify, you know, not going to the gym tonight, or we try to justify, I'll just have the sugar today and I won't tomorrow. I'm speaking from experience here, right? Because our brain sees it as kind of threatening our survival and going against the motivational triad. So it gets very good at justifying. Now, don't get me wrong, single for over 10 years, absolutely loved it. I'm like a huge advocate for like single women. Like I loved my single life. And at the same time, I had got to a place where I was like, you know, I really want to experience sharing life with someone and see what it's like. And I waited so long because I was terrified. And of course, you know, rejection sensitive dysphoria plays an element in there as well. I was terrified of going on first dates, terrified of being rejected, you know, of having my deep down fears confirmed that I'm just not good enough. And yet I knew that in order to get what I wanted, in order to experience sharing my life with someone, I had to be willing to choose the discomfort. I had to be willing to feel it all, right? It required effort. It was scary and hard. I felt afraid. I felt, you know, feared being rejected. I put myself out there and that was really hard and uncomfortable. And I went on first dates and I felt terror. I actually felt terror in my body and I didn't quit when it didn't go to plan or it wasn't a success. And I just kept going and I kept choosing the discomfort and I kept doing the hard thing over and over and over again until I met my partner. And it slowly became easier and more comfortable as we started to date and formed a relationship. Now, if I had waited, and I really want you guys to hear this, if I had waited for dating to feel easy, comfortable, and enjoyable, I sure as shit would have never done it. It's true. I wouldn't. Because to me, and this is different for each of us, right? Like dating to you might be really easy, but it might be, you know, getting healthy, or it might be moving to another country or leaving a relationship or studying. Like if you wait for it to feel easy, comfortable, and pleasurable, you may never do it. Okay. There is some research I learned about recently, which I find fascinating. So neuroscience research on willpower. And we will have a separate episode in the future on willpower, but it's definitely relevant to this conversation. So the neuroscience research on willpower makes clear that your anterior mid-cingulate cortex, right, this is like a little tiny peanut-shaped thing in your brain, okay? It's in your brain. It is a key hub for leaning into undesired effort. So this part of our brain is activated by engaging in things we don't want to do. So the research shows that when we do things we don't want to do, we increase our willpower muscle. The more we do things that are hard and uncomfortable and we don't want to do them and we do them anyway, the more we deliberately choose to do that, and you don't feel like doing it and yet you do it, that is growing your willpower muscle. Right? And the more we grow that, the more that helps us to make changes and achieve our goals. So here's what I'm doing more of this year. And I want to encourage you to join me and to do this too. Okay. Number one, plan to not want to do it and do it anyway. I'm serious. Plan for it and think about the tantrum that your brain might throw. So when I got into bed last night and I set my alarm for 6:30, I spent a minute thinking about, I'm not going to want to get up. I acknowledge that. I'm not going to like it. I'm not going to want to. I'm probably going to try and talk myself out of getting up and justify why I could stay in bed. And I'm probably not going to feel like going for my walk. And I know I'm definitely not going to want to work out. I'm acknowledging all of that now. And I'm going to. I'm going to choose to do the uncomfortable thing. Okay. When you plan to not want to do it, you're acknowledging that that is an option, a likely option that you will face, and you're talking through how you're going to handle it when it comes up, what you're going to do. Okay. When you've been at work all day and you don't feel like going to the gym because you're tired, go anyway. Choose the uncomfortable thing over the easy thing. Okay. And that's the second thing. Okay. So I told you two things I'm doing this year. Number one, planning not to want to do it and do it anyway. Okay. And planning, like that's another thing we're going to talk about, is how to plan. Us ADHDers, how to plan. But when you know that tomorrow morning, hey, your alarm's going off at 6:30 and you're going to go for a walk, and I'm just using my example here, like, are you going to want to get up? Probably not. Acknowledge that. Don't expect that you're going to feel differently tomorrow. Acknowledge, hey, I'm not going to want to get up, and this is why I'm doing it, and this is, I'm going to make it easier by getting my workout gear out the night before. I'm just going to get up. I've told my partner, he can push me out of bed, and I'm going to do it anyway. Okay, plan for it. Think about the tantrum ahead of time that your brain will throw. So that's one. And number two is choose to do the uncomfortable thing just in that moment. Just in that moment. One day at a time. Literally, one day at a time. So for me today, I have got yoga on the calendar at 4 p.m. today. I am not a fan of yoga. Like, I know some people love that shit. It's just not me, okay? I do it because it supports my neck and shoulder injury, and just, I know it helps my body, and I know that the research and the good shit behind it, right? So I do it. I do it twice a week, sometimes three, but at the moment I'm just focused on the two. But yesterday, it was meant to get done and I totally forgot, okay? So now it's on the calendar for 4 p.m. today. I figured it out this morning. I was like, shit. Okay, got to do that. Gonna do it today. Now, I know I will not want to. I know my brain is going to come up with a million excuses just before 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock on the dot, it's going to have all the excuses. And no doubt, I could find one that's justifiable. First day back at work, I'm tired, I got up earlier, you know, like I'm not, I could just do it tomorrow. Like I could come up with plenty of justifiable excuses. And I'm still going to do it. I'm just going to lie down on my yoga mat. I'm going to put the music on and I'm just going to do the uncomfortable thing today, one day at a time. And then I'm going to feel proud of myself afterwards. I always do. And take that time to acknowledge it. When you do the hard and uncomfortable thing, the not immediately pleasurable thing, take time to acknowledge that you did it and be proud of yourself, right? Reinforce that. I never regret choosing to do the uncomfortable thing. In fact, I'm always glad I did it every single time. Okay. And that brings me to the number one thing required in changing and achieving our goals. We have to choose discomfort over and over again. Okay. If it was easy, you would have done it already. If it was going to be immediately pleasurable, you would have done it already. If it didn't require any physical or emotional pain, you would have done it already. The reality is that there is discomfort involved, and that is what we get to choose in order to get the results we want. When we choose that discomfort and we keep choosing it over and over again, we get the outcome we want. We achieve our goals. We get the results that we want. Okay? So here's what my health goals look like this year. So I'm continuing to walk 10,000 steps every single day. That has been a huge benefit to me in the last 6 months that I've been doing it. So I'm continuing 10,000 steps every single day. I am transitioning to 90% whole foods. We eat a lot of whole foods anyway, but I'm moving away specifically from additives and preservatives. I've been doing, like I do a lot of ADHD study and research, and I am particularly interested in some of the research around specific food sources at the moment. And so that's part of the reason, but also I know for skin and other health reasons, other health related things for me and my body, when I am majority whole foods, so just, you know, not packaged stuff, not additives, no preservatives, none of that. When I am majority that, I feel much better, my skin's much better, you know, my energy's better, all the things. So that is one of the things that I am moving towards, also to support hormones, etc. So transitioning to 90% whole foods, going 100% sugar free. So I use sugar alternatives, whether that be fruit or rice malt syrup is something I use, or honey, those kinds of things. Also doing weights and, you know, building muscle. So I want to be doing weight training 3 times per week and building up to 4. So for the last couple of weeks, I've been doing 3 and I'm building up to 4. As part of these health goals, I'm also focused on improving sleep, mood, and skin, balancing hormones, and focusing more on feeling and processing emotions and not eating and drinking them. So although this is something that I do, I think it's also something that I want to be doing more of and be even more deliberate with. Okay. And we'll talk about this in a future episode. So with those goals that I have, that kind of like encompasses my health goals for 2024, here's what choosing discomfort currently looks like for me. Okay. And this will change and evolve as I go along. But right now, I want sugar. I want sugary shit all the time. So not all the time. That's not fair to say, actually. It's more mid-afternoon and after dinner. And the mid-afternoon is not so bad because I will generally like have a piece of fruit. But after dinner, that's when I'm also at my most irritable, after dinner and in the evenings. And I really want that sugar. And sometimes it's like alcohol. Like I want alcohol to try and take the edge off, even though like I don't really want a drink, or I don't really need a drink, or, you know, I hadn't really planned to have a drink, or we don't have anything. Like it's kind of like squeezing me. So that is one of the discomforts I'm choosing at the moment, is to sit with my emotions and look and process them and journal on it and work through it using other tools and strategies and, you know, not have the sugar. And sometimes I might have an alcoholic drink, but I'm choosing to not have that sugar. And sometimes I will have something, you know, that I can make or, you know, a piece of fruit or what have you, but it's not the sugar that my brain is like, I want the sugar. You know what I mean? Something else that is really uncomfortable for me at the moment is I'd gotten into a really strong habit of watching Netflix late into the evening and falling asleep watching Netflix sometimes, or just playing on my phone. Sometimes I'd be on TikTok in the evenings, which was something I had strong boundaries around, and it kind of slipped a lot towards the end of last year. So I've actually started reading. And so I will be on my phone until about 9:15, that's fine. But then I want to read from then onwards until I go to sleep. And I've found a really good book. I've actually got a couple of books that I'm really interested in. And the interesting thing is it's really uncomfortable. I don't want to put my phone down because it's become such a habitual thing and something that I really associate with dopamine, I think. So putting that down is quite uncomfortable, but at the same time, having found a book that's really, really good. And here's one little tip. I've got new ways I read books, and it's anything fucking goes. And what that means is I've got this book right now, and it's got a really good index. It's a book about ADHD. I'll share it with you in a future episode. I'll probably have a whole episode on this book, but I don't have to read it in order because I started trying to read it in order and I was like, this is boring, and I was losing interest. So now I literally go through the index and I find the section I want to read and I go and read it. And sometimes I might want to go back and read something before that was referenced, or I will go forward and read something else that was referenced and then come back to where I was. I'm literally going through this book all over the place and I'm loving it. That is my new favorite way to read a book. And I'm stoked with it. I'm so glad that I've given myself permission to read it any which way I want. I'm also listening to an audiobook at the same time as I'm walking, a different book. And I'm doing the same thing. I'm skipping the chapters that seem very boring or uninteresting. And sometimes I'll let go halfway through, or I'll go towards the end for the summary. And then I'm just getting to the bit that I'm really, really interested in. And I've just decided I'm giving myself permission to read books that way because it works for me. Anyway, I totally digressed. Other things that that look like currently choosing discomfort for me is not wanting to work out. Like, I generally want to go for my walks, but I don't want to get in the gym and do a workout. Like, that's an hour in the gym. Ugh. And there are so many other ways that we can work with our brain to get our brain on board in this area. Like, I have, you know, started with shorter workouts and built up to this. And I've done a lot of different things to support my ADHD brain getting on board. And still, I don't want to work out. And that's okay. I do it anyway, right? That's where I'm choosing the discomfort. And the more I choose it, I tell you what, the easier it gets. Other areas of my health goal that require me to choose discomfort, being hungry and not prepared with foods or meals ahead of time. Got stuck with that just a couple of days ago. I was like, I'd come back from being out visiting some friends and hanging out, and I was like starving and didn't have, you know, there was all of these things I could have chosen that had additives and preservatives and wasn't pre-prepared, but not being prepared or having easy, healthy choices ready. So that was uncomfortable, and that really required me to pause and be uncomfortable and like put stuff together. Now, most people wait to feel like doing it, right? They wait to feel like making changes. They wait to want to go to the gym. And that day just never comes, or it comes every now and again. We are literally wired to not want to. Okay? That motivational triad, we are wired to avoid pain, to seek pleasure, and to save our energy. Our brain is wired that way. Okay? One tip I want to give you that I really love, and I got this from Andrew Huberman, a neuroscientist, I believe, at Stanford University. He's got an incredible podcast called The Huberman Lab. And he talked about, in one of his episodes, he talked about the science behind, and I haven't gone to look at it, but the science behind achieving goals and how it can really help, instead of focusing on, you know, what your life will be like and how it'll be good and different and better or what have you when you've achieved it, focus on not achieving it. in that moment where you've got a decision to make, say, we'll take, for example, you've just finished work and it's 5 o'clock and you're tired and you were going to go to the gym, but you just don't feel like it. Like, that's the moment where you fast forward to not achieving the goal. Like, a year from now, if you keep not going to the gym and your body stays the same and you don't, you know, you don't put on any muscle and you still have all of these aches and pains and you're still moody and struggling to sleep and you feel unfit and unhealthy and, you know, perhaps if you're overweight, you want to lose weight, like, you know, you're still in that same size body. If you think about not achieving the goal, often that will motivate us enough to actually take the action we're not wanting to take. Okay, so it pays to, when you've got that moment, that decision-making moment, fast forward to what your life will be like if you don't achieve it, if you continue to stay here where you are. Okay, and I'll tell you what, that definitely works for me. That helps me to go, you know what, I'm just today, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to do the thing. I'm going to do the yoga at 4 o'clock because I don't want my body to be uncomfortable and sore. I don't want to have these neck and shoulder issues that prevented me from sleeping in bed for a few weeks. Like, I don't want to be that person. I don't want that to ever happen again. So you know what? I am going to do the yoga today. Okay. So again, that is, think about not achieving the goal in that moment when you've got that decision to make, and then choose the discomfort. Okay. Pursue feeling uncomfortable. Like, that is it. It really is the secret sauce. Doing that one thing will literally change your life. It has changed my life many, many, many times in such big and bold and incredible ways. And I'm taking it up a notch this year. And you know what? I'm fucking terrified. Some of the professional goals I've got, fucking terrified, I tell you that. But I'm also willing to feel uncomfortable because I know the more uncomfortable I am willing to feel, the more incredible life becomes. Okay, I'll say it again. The more uncomfortable I'm willing to feel, the more amazing my life becomes. All right, my friend. That is it for this episode. Huge love to you. Take care. I'll speak to you soon. Hey, friend. I know exactly what it's like to feel frustrated and confused with your ADHD and to wish that you could better understand what the hell is going on in your brain. And that's exactly why I created my coaching program, Thriving with ADHD. Inside Thriving with ADHD, you learn a step-by-step process to set and finally achieve your goals, to understand yourself and your ADHD. It's where you learn to feel better and manage your emotions and create systems and processes that work for you with your ADHD brain. This is designed for you to learn how to thrive with ADHD so you can create the life that you were meant to live. Visit zenajones.com/ADHD to learn more and book a consultation.